Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. There is so much meat in our Bible readings today. The fancy word for this is a pericope, which is Greek for Bible readings, you know. So when we look at this kind of thing, the pericope, there's a couple things in here I thought were pretty good. First of all, is in our first reading where we talk about the cornerstone. Okay? What does a cornerstone do? Well, and what else? When you set the cornerstone, what else does it do? You're right. Support. Put the date on it, but also they make sure that it is plumb and level, because without that, the building won't be straight up and down or level this way. So the cornerstone is really important because it sets the building. It's the foundation of the building. And the reason I'm not going to preach on that today is I did it 3 years ago. So today I get to do something else. Then as we got into this, we talk about, you know, Jesus laying down his life. Now I'm looking at the epistle reading. By this we know, love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. And this I actually did a year ago when I talked about the, like in a foxhole, if a grenade or something falls in, one of the soldiers usually jumps on it, takes the grenade so that the rest of the guys can make it. Okay? So if you've ever been in the military and things like that, that love between brothers is all-encompassing. Okay? It's really there. But since I already preached on that, I thought, all right, I'm actually going to preach on the gospel today. Why? Because it's Good Shepherd Sunday. All right. Let's look at that gospel and let's tear it apart. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. All right. Now, this is only the 10th chapter of John. So we're about, a third to halfway through Jesus' ministry. So, you know, he preached for 3 years, right? So this is about a year and a half in it. What is he preparing the people and the apostles for? His death. But is Marlene right too? The resurrection. All right, now listen to this. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. You know, remember the story about David when he was a child? He chased away a lion that were after his sheep. Okay? Even as a boy, the shepherd is in charge of those sheep. And you've got to do whatever you do. No matter what danger is there, it's got to be done. And what's the difference between that and what we just heard about laying down his life for his brothers? I mean, it's the same thing, isn't it? Okay. The hired hand flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. Now, Jesus comes back. He starts verse 11 with, I am the good shepherd. 14, I am the good shepherd. If he says it more than once, do you think it's important? Yes. I know my own, all of us, all y'all, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. What is he telling us right there? It's the people. I know my own and my own know me. The Father knows his own and his own knows him. Isn't that what Jesus is telling us? Remember when he tells us, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. important, isn't it? Okay. And I lay down my life for the sheep. Now, here's where it gets interesting. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold, but I must bring them also. What is he telling us? All of us. Not only all of us who are Christian, but all of us who are not Christian. The Great Commission, go ye therefore and baptize, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Make disciples of all nations. Well, how do we do that? You know, I look around here, and we look at our age. Yes, we are all old farts, boy. Well, some of us aren't. Well, sort of an earthy way of saying it, but it still is true, isn't it? But the thing is, are we done in our service to the Lord? No. And you can still talk to people. Even Denise has gotten to the point where I go to Walmart and start talking to somebody. I get teased about it. But, you know, that's the thing. Isn't it important that we talk to those around us? Remember the little diamonds that I gave you? That's the Holy Spirit. How many of them of you carry them with you? Two, three. Those are one of the best things, because if you see somebody that's bothered, go up to them, and that's a perfect time. Okay, we ran out, so I've got to get some more. But part of those that are great is when somebody's hurting and you show them that someone cares, not only the Holy Spirit, but someone in this plane of existence cares about them. Okay, we can all do that. So what Jesus says, and I'm in the last half of 16, I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. What's he telling us? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. One flock, one shepherd, one Savior. Now, let's face it, the apostles have no idea what he's setting up. But he's laying the groundwork for his death and resurrection, isn't he? And this is in the middle of his ministry. He knows what's waiting at the end for him, doesn't he? Does he walk away from it? No. But in Gethsemane, he starts saying, please let this cup pass from me. I mean, let's face it, he's a man, and he's going to have to die a man's death in probably one of the most horrendous ways possible on that cross. You know how you die on the cross? Suffocation, asphyxiation. Because to take a breath, if this is sunken, you can't breathe. You've got to raise it up. So every breath, you've got to raise your body up. And it finally gets to the point, y'all can't do it anymore. Verse 17, for this reason, because he just told them that he's going to die for them. The Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. Death, resurrection. Okay? I lay down my life, death, that I might take it up again. And can't you see the apostles? Oh, the master's at it again, isn't he? I mean, let's face it, they're human beings. Most of them are fishermen. Hey, I'm going to die and then rise from the dead. What time is it? I don't care who you are. That's hard to understand yet for them. No one takes it from me. He was ordained for this before he came down from heaven, right? He was the perfect sacrifice to end the first covenant. This is the new covenant in my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. New covenant. And the new covenant is Jesus Christ. But I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down. How can he have the authority to lay it down? Because he's God. He just told them he was God, didn't he? And I have the authority to take it up again. He's got the authority to die for our sins. He's got the authority to rise to forgive our sins. This charge I have received from my Father. Did you realize how sacramental this section was when I read it this morning? Probably not. I mean, we listen to this, but does it really hit us home? I don't think so. Not until we really take a look at it and tear it apart, but that's what's in Scripture. You know, one of the things that I find fascinating about Scripture is I can read it and read it and read it, and all of a sudden I see something new in it. You know, I've told you this story before, but I think it's a good example. You get in your car, turn on the car, radio comes on, favorite song. Oh, yeah! Okay, and you're bebopping along. One day you get in or turn on the car, your favorite song comes up. I don't want to listen to that. Has the song changed? You have changed. So when you change enough, you see something new in Scripture. Where's that coming from? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit right then is talking to you. I don't know how many times I've had somebody say, I wish the Holy Spirit talked to me more. He does. It shouldn't the question be, how do I listen better? You know, and that's something I think we all deal with. What's rattling around up there? Okay. Well, yeah, and I think the other thing we forget, too, we think of the Bible as one book. It's not. It's a collection of 66 books. The Ethiopian Bible has 81 books in it. 66 to 81, there's a lot of stuff in there, isn't it? But the thing that we deal with in the Bible is the thing is there's so much information in there. I mean, jump back to the epistle lesson today. Look at verse 19. Now, you read this. By this we shall know that we are of the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. So if we're of the truth, we are of Jesus. With me, and reassure our heart before him. How many of you knew the truth in this case was Jesus? Tells us that in the next part of the sentence. For whenever our heart condemns us, and our heart condemns us a lot, doesn't it? You know, one of the things, your sins are forgiven. Oh, but how can that be forgiven? I was so bad. Hey, God forgave you. You got to learn how to forgive yourself. God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything. So when he says your sins are forgiven, they're forgiven. Pastor, I'm going to use you as an example right here. When somebody goes to pastor for individual confession, you know how he starts it? Absolution. Your sins are forgiven. What did they confess? Nothing yet. But he just told them their sins are forgiven. Why? Because they want to confess. Think about that for a second. Isn't that what God does? Lord, I screwed up. All right, your sins are forgiven. But I did this. All right, your sins are forgiven. I want you should listen to me. Your sins are forgiven. See what I'm getting at? And that's hard for us, isn't it? Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. With God is with us, who can stand against us? And whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. The only thing is that we receive it from him in his time, not our time, and sometimes the two don't match up, do they? But he always answers. And sometimes that answer is no, too. And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he has commanded us. Whoever keeps his commandments abides in God and God in him. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. And there's the Trinity right there. I wish I should have looked up name in this case in the Greek. Ano. Actually, it's anom. A-N-O-M is name in Greek. And there are 19 endings you can put on that word. 19 endings. You can be really precise in Greek where we can in England. You know, it's just like saying you. All right? Is that you? You all? You individually? You as a group? Okay? It's ambiguous, isn't it? But in Greek, it's ano ma at this point. Ma, masculine, singular. The name, masculine, singular, of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. One in three, three in one. See the Trinity? Okay. Yeah, I'm seeing some eyes open up there a little bit. It's right there in front of us. But the thing is, unless you know how to look at it, how to go back to the original language, you don't see it because it doesn't come through in English. Well, folks, I really think that today, since it's Good Shepherd Sunday, we remember that we do have a good shepherd who watches out for us and wants what's best for us. Because really, without that, what do we have? Well, we don't have eternal life, do we? By the way, I shared with you that story last week about the pastor that was dying at the VA in Cincinnati. And he told me he didn't believe, wasn't sure he believed. Let me tell you, because the next day I went back and I sat with him when he made his transition into the next life. You know what he did? He smiled, leaned forward, and reached out. Who did he reach for? Jesus. You think he believed at that moment? I do too. I hope this information today helps keep your hearts and minds on our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.